This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And happy holidays, everybody. Great to have you with us on the show today. This opening half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies, pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. It's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Stock up for the big holiday season, holiday parties, and stock up, and also think about gift cards, and stock up as well for tailgates. Penn State will be battling tomorrow to get itself into the college football playoff. Now we're going to talk about a team that is in a playoff, and it is Susquehanna Hobart coming up at Doug Arthur Stadium, and that will be coming up tomorrow, and joining us is the head coach of the Susquehanna Riverhawks, Tom Perkovich. Tom, welcome to the show. It's so great to have you with us.
I appreciate you having me. Thanks so much.
All right, so you've been able to get this far with this team. What have been some of the common threads that have led you to this 9-1 record that you have?
Well, I think hard work starts the conversation. These guys love football. They come to work every day. They work incredibly hard at what we're asking them to do. It's a great group of kids. I think it starts with that team aspect, the family aspect that we have here. And then we got really good players, and some guys that are playing really well, really explosive offense, and led by Josh Ehrlich, a quarterback. And then defensively, we've played tough. We've had our moments that we've got to get better, but I think we're starting to come into our own here at the end. But we've played well in all three phases, and have taken care of business throughout the season, and hope to continue that as we move forward. But it's all about the players. They do a great job. Our coaching staff's done a nice job, but those guys come ready to play every weekend.
Makes a big difference. I'll never forget, this is a long time ago, Tom. I went into the office, and there was a play up on the board, and Joe Paterno looks at me, and he says, "Steve, you want to know what the key to this play is?" I said, "What is it?" He said, "I need to know the name of that X and the name of the O." He says, "As soon as I know that, I can tell you whether it's successful or not."
That's why he was so successful.
That's right. Now, let's talk about Josh for a moment. You're talking about a guy that's better than 70% this year with 28 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. The precision with which he plays, what kind of difference does that make in your ability to move the ball but give you comfort as a coach you're not going to turn it over?
Yeah, I think at every level of football, if your quarterback is playing well, you got a shot to win, right? And a shot to do a lot of different things and make sure that you're effective offensively. And, I've said this to a number of people, but the jump that Josh has made from, last year at this time to now is incredible, just incredible. And it's allowed us to, rise up to the number 3 offense in the country, statistically. And, he's commanded the system. We ask a lot of our quarterback here, and he runs the show, but his ability to make plays and make throws this year has just been nothing short of amazing. You look at his statistics, and he's top 25 in a ton of quarterback statistics, and we've only played 4 full games out of 10. We've gotten ahead on people and put our reserves in, and he's done a lot of that in only 2 or 3 quarters of play. So if you hope that hot hand continues, but he's been the man, and a man that just keeps us moving forward.
his ability to run with the ball. What does that mean to this offense? But also, what does it mean, Tom, in the red zone when you have a quarterback that has mobility?
Yeah, you can do a lot with him. You know, you can get creative play-wise and those type of things, but it obviously puts a huge stress on our the people we're playing, you know, to have obviously the weapons around him and the way he's playing with his arm. But his ability, when you do a great job of, you know, covering people up or you know, or having guys in the right spots, and his ability to make plays with his feet is what makes him really special. You know, the dual threat player. You know, last year he was more one dimensional. He ran a lot and threw it, you know, here and there. But now it's both, and I think for our opponents, it can be nightmarish to know you have it. You know, you have the play, you know, defended well, but then he takes off and makes guys miss because he's, you know, a great athlete. So it's been fun to watch and fun for him to, you know, continue to extend plays when, you know, maybe we didn't have the right play called.
Rashawn LeMond is over 1,100 yards with 8 yards per carry. He's got 14 touchdowns. How exciting has it been to watch how he plays, but also as the offensive line coach as well? What kind of pride do you take in the work the guys are doing up front?
Well, yeah, Rashawn's a special player. He's probably the most electric player I've coached in 22 years of doing this. And, you know, he's got the ability to hit a home run at any point. So I think that's exciting for the guys up front, right? When you got two guys behind you like Rashawn and Josh, and, you know, knowing that, you know, if we do our job, you know, we can be really, really productive offensively. And, you know, we've taken a lot of pride in how we operate up front for a long time here. And obviously, like you said, I coach that group. And, you know, those guys are hard hat, you know, lunch pail guys every day and just work at it and, you know, try to do their best. And we've got some talented kids. But I think they take pride in seeing the other guys have success, you know, the success that they've had. And, you know, I tell them all the time, you know, you're the engine, man, of this whole thing, the O-line. They're the guys that make us go. You know, if we're playing well up front, we got a shot. You know, if we're missing, then, you know, we open up the door for other people. But, you know, I've been really proud of how they've just, you know, kept their head down and worked.
Defensively, you are giving up just 96 yards per game, only 3.3 yards a carry. What has that meant to the ability of your team to make the opposition one-dimensional?
Well, you always talk about it, right? You want to run the football well, and you want to stop the run. I think that always is a focal point. So to see our defense front do that, and I'm not surprised. We have a lot of guys back from a year ago there, a lot of experience. You know, Garrett Carter in the middle, the player of the year in our league, and some really good defensive linemen that have, you know, really grown up this year and come into their own and make plays. So, you know, I think it's been nice to see that we've been able to stop the run and make people, you know, definitely one-dimensional. You know, and we've had some injuries on the perimeter and some battles through the year, but, you know, again, I think we're healthy and, you know, it helps our defensive coordinator, obviously, when he knows, hey, you're going to throw it more than pass it or more than run it, and, you know, it definitely helps him call the game and be effective.
They also have some interceptions. You got a dozen of them on the year. A couple of guys, for example, like Drew Robinson and Josh Parson, each have a couple for you. That pass defense, which they were going to be relied on when you're stopping the run, how well have they played? What kind of pressure have you been able to put up front to help them out?
Yeah, they we've had our ups and downs there. I'm not going to lie to you.
Sure.
We've had really good games and some other games. A little different recipe to win this year than last year, where we controlled the ball a little more on offense. You know, we've been more explosive, so they're out there a little longer. But, you know, those guys have done a nice job of relating to routes and being opportunistic. You know, and then guys, we play a lot of man-to-man, so, you know, we ask a lot of those corners. You know, they don't, when you're playing man, you have a little less opportunity for picks and things. But, you know, it obviously puts a lot on the quarterback to make sure they get the ball out. And we're a high-pressure team, so we're going to bring, you know, 5 and 6 man pressure and try to get after the quarterback and make that guy have to beat us quickly. And I think that plays into our hand if he has to do that. And as long as we don't give up big plays, I think, you know, we're where we want to be.
when you do force them to punt, what kind of luxury is it that you're putting Rashawn back on punt returns?
I think that might be the scariest part of going against us, right? If you have to punt and that guy's back there who leads the country in return yardage and touchdowns, from a punt return standpoint. And I just, it's our guys, we've seen it, in the mid to later in the season, and even in week two against Brockport, I think he kind of brought us back to life in that game a little bit, with a couple big returns. And those specials, we talk to our guys all the time, the special teams plays really, really can change a game, positively or negatively for you. We take a ton of pride in it, and our guys know the effort they need to give to get him loose, and how quickly that can change a game and really put you ahead and make sure that, you're continue to put stress on the defense with field position and obviously explosive plays from a punt returner. But, man, is he special, and, excited to see what he can do against Hobart, who has an exceptional punter. So we'll see, what their plan is there. And, I think we have a good plan against it, so we'll see what happens tomorrow.
Okay, Hobart, of course, comes in with their 9-1, all right, in the Liberty. Terrific. Beat Rochester last time out 37-7. When you look at them, give me the checklist of a couple things that you need to make sure doesn't happen on their side that gives you an advantage.
Yeah, from our defensive standpoint, their offense, we have to stop the run. We have to be the team you talked about. We've got to control the line of scrimmage. And then we can't give up big plays to their big receiver, number one, who's really good. So we got to slow that down. We've got to get off the field on third down, too. I think that's going to be critical on that side of the ball. If we can create a couple turnovers, that would be amazing to try to win that battle. And then, offensively, we talk about you can't feed the monster. They're really good on defense. Mm-hmm. You can't get them to kind of feel themselves and have momentum. I think that will hurt us. We're going to have to stay consistent, stay in good and manageable third down situations, protect the ball, and then, hopefully make the plays down the field that we can make. If we get the opportunity to throw it, and we got to be really effective with our back. If we can do those things and keep us in good situations, I think that's good. And then the biggest thing is we've got to, if we get in the red zone, we got to score touchdowns, not field goals.
Yep.
It's got to be touchdowns. That hurt us last year in the playoff game. We took three instead of six, and we've got to score touchdowns there. That's an area that has to happen for us for sure.
They're plus 15 for the fans. They're plus 15 giveaway takeaway, including 16 interceptions this year. So that goes to Tom's point about that. I do have to ask you about Logan Rhodes. As you know, Mike Rhodes is the basketball coach here. Okay, good friend of mine. All right, and of course I know Logan. So I just want to know how is he progressing for you?
Yeah, Logan, was put in a tough situation, being ineligible for a bit early in the season. Got with us late, right before our bye week, and really grabbing on to what we're doing. He's a big athlete, and can do some really good things. So he's a reserve as a safety for us right now, but he's, you'll see him all over the field on special teams. He's making his impact there. This year with the late start he's had, but what a great kid, hard worker, really passionate about what he does, and yep. Hoping that he has a nice game tomorrow.
Yep. Hey, thanks so much for the time. Looking forward to it very much, finding out the result. The game is at high noon tomorrow. Penn State doesn't play till 3:30, so go on over and see Susquehanna play tomorrow against Hobart at Doug Arthur Stadium at noon tomorrow. Tom, best of luck to you and your team. Hopefully we have this conversation again next week.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks for the for reaching out and highlighting our program, and appreciate the time.
Anytime. Tom Perkovich, the head coach at Susquehanna. What a year. 9-1. Hobart tomorrow, high noon, Doug Arthur Stadium in Selinsgrove. And Let's see if they can beat Hobart. 2-9-1 teams going head-to-head this half hour. Brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies. Pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
All right, so let's get everybody up to date on scores here, because I know the last time I saw, Minnesota was winning 14-0 last I saw. Let's see here. And I know that, let's see, Colorado's winning 21-0. They're doing great. What do you think when you watch a Colorado game on TV?
I'll be honest, I haven't watched one since the beginning of last season.
It's like listening to the hometown announcers. And I know Mark Johnson. Mark's their radio guy. I know Mark. He's a great dude. But it's like listening to them do the game. Like, golly, they root for him. It's like, I mean, like, openly. Like, cripe. Boise leads Oregon State 14-7 just for the half in Idaho, and Minnesota with a 14-0 lead over Wisconsin. 2 minutes ago, first half. East Carolina leads Navy 3-0. Matt Eberflus is out as the coach of the Bears.
I'm surprised it took this long today.
You know what, though? Yeah, it's his fault for not calling a timeout. But I'm sorry, Caleb Williams has the clock right in front of him. I mean, you know what I mean? There's two people involved here. Okay? The coach, and he should have called a timeout. And there's also the quarterback who should have grounded the ball. It was third down. Like, what are we doing here? It's not all him. This is what I try to tell people all the time. Coaching, coaching, scheme, coaching. The players have a ton to do with what's going on out there. A ton.
I think this is a stack upon stack of decisions, though, this season.
Oh, I agree. I totally agree with that. But everybody's looking at him. I know he has a timeout. He's the coach. He should have used it. There's no question about it. But the quarterback's got the doggone eight ball right in the face. He's sitting right there. He's got the clock. He's got the play. Everything. Right. He can't figure out they've got trouble. Be out there taking his time. What are you doing?
Well, it goes back to your narrative thing, though, that everything is his fault.
Of course it is. Right? Nothing's the kid's fault. He's just a kid. Well, he's played in every game this year. Goodness sakes, you don't know where the play clock is? You don't know where the game clock is? It's one of the first things you do when you walk in the stadium. Okay? It's both. There's no doubt. The coach has a timeout. He's running the show. He should have called it. No question. But believe me, the quarterback also has the discretion to look around and go, you know what, this is wrong, timeout, or spike the balls third down.
Bringing you you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us, brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. We all have a multitude of insurance needs, and you really need the best in the business to manage them all. And they'll do everything they can to save you money because customer service means everything to them. All at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And now let's go to where the snow is piling up in droves. We go to Doug in Wellsboro. Hello, Doug. Happy holidays to you, my good friend.
I am sick of shoveling snow.
That's okay. I shovel it for a living.
we got about 4 inches of snow yesterday, heavy wet stuff, and I am so sick of that stuff.
Oh, man, I don't blame you. I don't blame you at all. Well, hopefully this is a nice little respite from that. So what do you got on your mind?
Who's being introduced as seniors tomorrow?
You know, I haven't seen the list yet, but I'm not so sure what it means anymore. I mean, like in any sport. I mean, this will be the third straight week I've had a senior day, believe it or not. And, like, I'll see guys go through. Like, there's certain guys you know are done. Like, Devon J. Thomas is done. Okay? Jalen Reed is done. He's actually a foreign done. So there's certain guys like that I know. But there are other guys where they could be running through next year.
Kyle Wormley.
Yep.
Kyle Wormley, come back, Kenny.
And that's what James told me that. I looked at it, really? Some reason he might be able to come back for another year. Now, whether he does or not. But, yeah, James told me that. And I was surprised when he did say that. So I don't know. It's not just who runs through on senior day, Doug. To me, it's more important, like, as to who's actually done and is actually leaving. Because there'll be underclassmen that won't run through tomorrow that I'm sure will declare for the NFL draft. So it's a nice ceremony. It's great for the player. It's great for the parents and the families. But it's not the be-all, end-all as to determining what next year's roster looks like. These guys all have decisions to make.
I tried to think back. There had been guys that had been announced on senior day, but they actually came back, I think.
Yeah, well, Sean Clifford. Sean Clifford ran out on senior day and then ran out again the next year. Right? So when it comes to that, you know, you got to give them credit. They're familiar with the path to come through where they're supposed to go. But this, you know, you see this all the time with guys. I mean, Ace Baldwin in basketball went through senior day last year. He's going to do it again this year. You know, it's just the way of the new world of college football, where senior day was, okay, boy, we're really bidding these guys goodbye. Now it's, well, we're bidding some of them goodbye. Others we're not sure. And that's the new world of college football.
Todd, are you in the call?
I'm here.
Hey,
Todd. Troy is playing Riverside tonight. Do you know anything about them?
Riverside?
Yes.
They have a quarterback, Chase Tedario, that's pretty good, kind of along the same lines as Evan. Gonna run and throw a little bit. Riverside does run a little bit of a spread, a little bit more of does throw the ball a little bit more than Troy would. I did see them play once. They played on TV against Lackawanna Trail, and Lackawanna Trail actually beat them up pretty badly. So I'm not real sure how good they are, but I got to see Troy against Southern Columbia. Troy's real good. I'd be surprised if there's a team that's going to beat them in 2A.
Okay. They're playing in Tawanda tonight, the neutral site. I think next week, like the championship game, like Clarion County, isn't it?
The other game is Avonworth and Pencambria, I believe. Or no, maybe that's a 3A game. I haven't looked close at the 2A bracket just because, you know, my 2A teams have been done for a while.
Okay. All right. Well, that's all I have for today. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh. Hey, Doug. Okay. Thanks so much. Appreciate it. And always appreciate the calls.
Okay. Thank you, Steve.
All right. Yeah, it does get a little confusing sometimes, Todd, on what's one. And I'm the last person to ask, hey, Steve, which are they 2A or 3A? I'd be like, I don't know. I don't know what A they are.
The other issue is everything changed this year, so now I have to remember who's in which division again.
Ah, jeez. Oh, man. Yeah. So, it's, yeah, it's not easy sometimes. There are all these changes. Oh, goodness gracious. But, hey, you know what? You do the best you can to adapt. Oh. There's a big part of you that wishes you didn't have to adapt all the time. Right. College football. Yeah, there are times that we got to adapt. Okay. Well, guess what? In adapting, I was kind of hoping like I didn't have to adapt to that. It's not my deal. Got to adapt to the transfer portal. Okay, got to adapt to NIL. Okay, got to adapt to a lot of stuff. So.
The senior day thing is not something I had really considered till you guys were talking about it. I guess it really doesn't mean as much as it used to.
No, and I didn't even bother asking this year.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. I mean, I'll see them run out, but I did not bother asking anybody for a list this year. And the reason I didn't was after the last couple of years, there were too many guys that were, you know, there were guys that were coming back. I know they all have decisions to make. So that part I do understand. But I'm like, okay. Yeah. And that's how I look at it now. It's like, okay. That's the way it is.
I mean, without saying names, I think you can make some assumptions of who might not be back next year, but...
Yeah, I guess you can. Like, there's some guys you can... See, to me, it's all guesswork, and I... Like, for example, let's give you an example. What if a guy that's eligible to come back, but you're pretty sure he's going to the draft? And what if something happens, they get hurt? That's why I don't want to make assumptions, you know? I don't want that to happen. I'm sincerely hoping they can go out and just, and have their senior day and enjoy it. And if they want to go to the draft, go to the draft. That's what I want, because I want the best for these people. I get a chance to talk to them enough where I just genuinely really like so many of them so much. And I think that makes, you know, a big difference when you feel so. I mean, I don't want anything to happen to these people. I mean, I felt awful when Anthony Donko and Alonzo Ford both got hurt last week. Felt awful. They're both great guys. I mean, great guys. I mean, Donko is fascinating. I mean, Donko is into aerospace engineering. I mean, like, you want to talk to him about outer space, planets, things like that? I mean, he's majoring in all this stuff, but, like, he's into it. You know, like, it's fascinating. And he's got other interests as well, which are great. And I don't want anything to happen to guys. In other words, I want them to have all their options. But I'm saying you don't know until you actually go through and see, okay, everybody's okay, and you play on. I mean, that's why you've seen so many guys skip bowl games. They've been concerned about it. You know? I don't like that either. to me, you know. But again, that's another thing I've had to adapt to. How about that? Let's put that down as another thing that's under the have to adapt to list.
Well, and this is, you know, with the playoff, you know, it's interesting. This is probably the first year we've gotten to this point where we haven't heard a lot of, you know, who's coming out, who might not play, who's, you know, who's this last game. And I, you know, that's not something, you know, you usually knew, you know, there was a good chance, to, like, you knew who wasn't probably playing in the bowl game. You knew a high draft pick was probably announcing he's coming out on senior day. And now, you know, that's not going to happen, yeah, especially if they're in the playoff.
Right. And then, but there's another part too. Like, for example, Jamari Harris, defensive back for Iowa. I said something to watch for. I said this 2 or 3 years ago. Said a team season is going not great or just okay. Okay? I said, you may see some guys opt out of the last few regular season games to get ready for the draft. Well, Jamari Harris, the defensive back for Iowa, did exactly that. 10 days ago, he opted out. I'm done. So he didn't play the Maryland game. He's not going to play against Nebraska. He opted out. You had the other thing I said a few years ago, and again, these are all things I didn't want to see come true, but you're trying to talk to the audience to prepare them about what the possibilities are. I said that after that fourth game of the season, which guys opt out? Right? Well, you saw two for USC do that, including Bear Alexander. Right? And he's not the only one. And my goodness, Devin Ford did that here a couple of years ago. After the, to preserve his redshirt year. I mean, this is where we are in college football. There's going. That's why I've been talking about the one area where the government can help. It is not with structure of NIL or anything like that. It is definitely not that. But it is in the area, can you give college football an antitrust, or college sports an antitrust exemption that then allows them to negotiate these items with a players association of some sort. So now you have parameters on NIL. You have parameters on the transfer portal. You have parameters on money. Right? Now, it gives you the ability to negotiate all that if you have an antitrust exemption. So that's where Charlie Baker can help out. Now, supposedly, Senator Ted Cruz of Texas, who won re-election, maybe somebody you can look at along with Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut. So that's a Republican and a Democrat. Both seem interested in what's happening with college sports. They may be a couple of guys that may have the ability to shepherd something through and get the wheels greased to make it happen so college sports get some structure. And it's done from the government level. Then after that, let the sports themselves take care of their respective players and what the parameters should be on them once they have that.
Since the election, it sounds like Senator Cruz's plan is to put the cat back in the bag, so to speak.
It may be if he's allowed to.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting. It sounds like they want to go back to, for lack of a better way to put it, the old way, with no NIL, no transfer portal, nothing.
Well, again, if that's what he wants to do, but see, Senator Murphy of Connecticut is another one that's important. Murphy is a huge sports fan, right? So I think it's important to have a Republican feel that way, and it's important, or you know, to feel whatever way that he's interested in doing something. How about that? And it's important to have a Democrat feel that something needs to be done and see if they can come to something bipartisan that makes sense for both sides and makes sense for not just the players but the universities as well. I mean, that's what you're hoping for. All right, but then again, I still feel that they need to give the power to the universities and to the players to negotiate their own agreement. That way government only has a certain amount of power or control over it. Because Right? No offense, they're not really that good at running a lot of things. Yeah. It's not really their strong, right? When it comes to sports, that's not their strong suit. They have other strong suits. Sports really isn't one of them. Okay? All right. How about phrasing it that way?
I'm having flashbacks to the steroid steroid testimonies.
Yeah, that didn't go well. That didn't go well at all. So, yeah, that's especially when you're sitting there pointing your finger. No, don't want to make that. No, I wouldn't do that. That didn't work out. Here's a guy with 500 home runs and 3,000 hits and has zero chance of getting into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Zero. That's the way it is. But, yeah, I mean, again, it's more the antitrust exemption if it's possible to get. That's me. I think that opens the door to maybe solving some problems where you're allowed to solve the problems on your own. And I think that's always the best solution when you can solve the problems on your own. That's, you know, now others may argue with me like, oh no, they got okay, and that's fine. I mean, that's fine. Like I said, everybody has their own opinion. You're absolutely entitled to it. If you think I'm all wet here, fine, because I'm like you. I'm just searching for solutions. All right, I'm just searching for them. So, all right, we'll take a break. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com here on News Radio 1070 WKLK.
Let SMC be your MVP. With their all-star lineup of new Fords, Sunbury Motors has 31 of J.D. Power's best-in-class 2024 Ford Bronco Sports, discounted up to $4,250, and starting at just $28,815. SMC has 18 of the number one selling SUVs of all time, the 2025 Ford Explorer, slashed up to $5,300 and priced for just $43,920. Choose from over 40 of Motor Trend's number one ranked full-size truck, the Ford F-150, and Sunbury Motors has them reduced up to a whopping $12,416 with available 1.9% financing for 60 months. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915. Remember, Sunbury Motors Ford gives you more for your trade.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
When we re-entered the building on Wednesday, this is the music they played when the suit walked in. He was snapping his fingers to it as he walked in. Is that just a rumor?
It was. I did not see him walk in the building. I just heard him sneak up behind me.
Oh, my goodness. The suit in a stealth mode. Okay, next half hour, we're going to talk Maryland football, right?
Yes, Jeff Ehrman.
Yep, Jeff, and we've had Jeff on before. Washington Post?
Actually, it looks like he has his own site now.
Oh, his own site? Good for him. Yeah, because Jeff was with the Washington Post at one point. Look, the key is, without question, right, the number one player in that football team, no matter who, is Ty Felton, number 10, the wide receiver. He's really good. I mean, he is really good. You get some, quote, control on what he's getting, you put yourself in a position to win a game. He is NFL good. And that's the number one guy. And I'll get into him about the Billy Edwards, MJ Morris situation at quarterback. I expect Edwards to start. and do the majority of playing. But last week they did go to Morris, and yes, Edwards has been banged up a little bit. So we'll get into that. I think Wade's come on at tight end. He's played pretty well. I like Dante Trader, the safety, number 12. I really like Ruben Hippolyte, the linebacker, number 4. So, I mean, it's not like they don't have guys. They have guys. But at the same time, the guy is Felton, number 10. He is really good. I mean, there's no getting around it. But I had to pick out one guy. That would be the guy. Get some control on him. Like, you're not going to be able to stop him, but get some control on what's going on with him. You put yourself in a good spot. Put yourself in a really good spot. So it'll be Maryland tomorrow, 3:30. Look, the bottom line is this. This is what the game is. You can do all the fancy intros you want. All right? Hey, let's set the game up. You know what? Here, okay? This is the bottom line. Penn State, on senior day, with a win, will clinch a spot in the college football playoff. That's what it comes down to. That's the stakes involved in this game. That's it. Penn State needs to win the game to clinch a spot in the college football playoff. No opinion needed on their season. No opinion needed on their schedule. No opinion needed as to how they fare against somebody else. It doesn't matter. They win tomorrow. They are in. That's the only thing you need to know about tomorrow's game. That is tomorrow's game in a nutshell. Those are the stakes. Okay, those are the stakes. I've talked about avoiding the two-loss pool. I've talked about that for weeks, about the two-loss pool. The two-loss pool is the opinion pool. Well, what about this? What about that? What about this? But if you're sitting at 11-1, okay, the only opinion they have is exactly where to seed you. Okay, that's the only time opinion comes in. Where do we seed them? They're in. Where do we seed them? Right? That's the only opinion that comes into play if you win tomorrow's game. That's the bottom line. It's as easy as it gets and as difficult as it gets. Winning is hard. Winning's hard. That's why if you can get 11 regular season wins, that screams why you should be in the playoff, because winning's hard. Weather's going to be It's going to be cold as I can remember in Beaver Stadium. It's probably the coldest game I can remember maybe since 1987 with Notre Dame. I mean, they are talking tomorrow about a high temperature tomorrow of 30 degrees. And at kickoff tomorrow, which will be 3:30, they're talking about it possibly being 28 degrees with a wind chill of 14. You're going? Bring everything warm.